This part's for me. Let's get into Joshua chapter 2. I went over to spend a little time in the youth class this morning, and they encouraged me in a word. Amen? It's good when your young people can give you a word, right? Appreciate all the men that went last night to the men's meeting. That was encouraging. Long night, but man, it was good. I love how Scott tells the story about his eating. That was awesome. Every time he reached for a biscuit, he had this look on his face. He looked at me and he looked at the biscuits. Didn't stop him, though. Didn't stop him. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18, there's a gospel message here this morning. I want you, just for this period of time, there's such a seriousness in the room today. Because this message is going to expose who you are. And I don't mind saying this. If God is dealing with your heart about salvation, forget who you are. Forget what you've done. Forget how far you've been along. Forget about how many times you've been to church. And forget about if you've joined a church or if you've been baptized. Or forget all that. If God's dealing with your heart about salvation, surrender and be saved. Now, if you are saved, help me this morning. You say, how can I help you, preacher? You need to be encouraged by this message because somebody's preaching the gospel and there might be somebody. Matter of fact, I know there's somebody in the midst that's not saved. And it should encourage you that you are saved. And I found this gospel message in Joshua chapter 2. And it's very clear, and I want to draw some comparisons this morning. And when we're done, I'm going to have Scott come up here and I'm going to have him play a song like right when we get finished. And if you're saved and born again and you know it, start praying that nothing would hinder anybody else from coming and getting saved. All right, are y'all ready? There's a weight to this, but I want you to hear it. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18. Behold, when they come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, the blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. Now let's switch over to Joshua chapter 4, verse 22. This is so exciting to me. This is one of the best gospel messages I've ever seen lived out. And hopefully, by the will of God, we can express some truths out of this. Verse 22, Joshua 6, verse 22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, and she swear unto her. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22. Did I say 4? That's all right. Hey, we can all get there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22. Sorry about that. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, on only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. I hope y'all know who we're talking about. We're talking about the harlot Rahab. God came to her through a couple of witnesses and spared her life and gave her some direction. And that's where I want to preach from today. He gave her a place. He said, right here under this scarlet robe, I want you to stay right here. I want you to stay in this house. This is where I want you to be when the judgment comes. When we come back to the city of Jericho, this is where you have to be. You have to be where this scarlet rope is, and you have to be in the house. Anybody outside this house will not be spared. We have a place. It's called Jesus Christ. We must be in Him, and He must be in us. And if you're outside of that, you will not be spared. There is no way outside of that you can be spared. If you are not in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus in you, you will not pass through the judgment. You will be found guilty. You will be found without. You will be cast out of the presence of God for eternity. And that is a fact. I love this story. I love it so much because you know what? It's a concrete place. You have to be here. And guess what? God, thousands of years later on a cross, says, you must be in me and I must be in you. So we have a place to be. You have a place to be this morning. And only you know whether you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Only you know. Guess what? I've been to church. Great. A lot of people go to church. I've read my Bible. Guess what? A lot of people read the Bible. I do great things. Good. Great things need to be done. But without Christ Jesus, they are useless. Because guess, I guarantee you in the city of Jericho, there might have been some people praying. There might have been people getting together and talking. Amen? And saying, we need to do something. And maybe there were some people trying to help each other in all the confusion and the strife. But guess what? Nobody got saved unless they were in the right place. And nobody in this room will get saved unless you are in the right person, which is Jesus Christ. And how do you know if Jesus Christ is in you? Guess what? He gets on the inside of you and He starts to change the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk. Guess what? The things that you used to hate, you'll now love. And the things that you used to love, you will now absolutely hate them. Even though you might mess up and do them every once in a while. Anybody get that? That's an amen right there, I think, somewhere. There is a place. And that place is in Christ Jesus. And I hope you're there. It's no mistake when they did this that they made that a scarlet rope. It represents the blood of Christ Jesus. And the shed blood of Jesus Christ upon you says this person is saved. This person is sanctified. This person is righteous because they are covered by the covenant blood of Jesus Christ. That's you. That's the place you have to be. That's the place that you have to be. That's the place you have to be. Man, Jesus is so... He excludes so many. No, He doesn't exclude so many. He lets anybody that wants to come into salvation come, but there is only one place of salvation. There was a time. And guess what? They said, when we come back. Did they give us a specific time? Nope. When we return, guess what they said? You know what that made? You know what it made her do? It made Rahab say, "You've got to be in here, and you can't come back out of here. You have to stay in here until they come back." I don't know when they're coming back, but you need to stay in here. You need to stay in this until they return. Because if they come back and you're outside of this, then it's going to be on you. Amen. Guess what? We have a time as well. The Lord says, I will return, amen, in like manner. This same Jesus will return in like manner, amen. Guess what? He's coming back. Do we know the time? No, we do not know the time, but we do know He's coming back. So you must get saved before that time. And guess what? God is so gracious and so merciful that He brought you up here this morning, sat you in these seats, and is begging you to be saved before that time comes. Do you know every time that He kicked out a devil? Do you know that every time He removed a devil that was residing in someone, do you know what they would say every time they would come out? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what do we have to do with you? It is not our time. It is not our time. Do you know every devil in hell, every devil knows their time is running out? Do you know your time is running out? Somebody's dying today. Somebody will die tomorrow. And it might be some of the people sitting in this room. You say, you're trying to scare me into salvation. If I could, I would. If I could, I would. If I could scare you to death and get you to get saved, I would. But it's not about scared. It's about truth. It's about truth. It's about knowing that you have a limited amount of time. And you what? You're not here by mistake. You didn't show up in this auditorium, in this church, by mistake. God had an appointed time, and He's begging you again. You! I mean, He loves you so much, some of you thought when you got up this morning, I don't even really know if I'm going to go or not. Somebody in this room thought, well, I might just stay at home. I might not. I think I'll go. Maybe I'll go tonight. Or maybe I'll go next week. But somehow you got up and you got here anyway. And God is ringing the bell for you again and saying, look, you're running out of time. I know you got a profession, but you need a possession of Christ. And Christ has a possession of you because time is running out. This is my favorite part of this story. He left a witness. He left a witness, didn't he? Do you think God could have picked a better witness? He picked a prostitute. He picked a prostitute to be the witness. I mean, golly, I was thinking, God, couldn't you pick somebody else? And I know He couldn't have picked nobody else because you know what? Here's a prostitute now trying to save people's souls and worried about their soul and their lives instead of worrying about their money and what she can get out of them. I think this is neat because the list that they give is off the charts amazing. Here's who you need to win when we come back. We want your father in the house. God, that's good. You know what? Oh, never mind. I'll break it down to you. Your prostitute daughter is now telling you, Dad, you need to stay in the dwelling of my home because when God's people come, they're going to destroy us. If you're not in here, guess what? You're going to be destroyed. I wonder if he thought in his mind, what in the world? Why do you get to tell me anything? You're a prostitute, and I'm your father. Hey, is there anybody in this room that's ever thought that somehow your past hinders you from telling your family about Jesus Christ? Maybe at family reunions and family get-togethers, you're kind of intimidated about sharing the gospel because of your past, because they know it better than anybody else. And they probably rehearse it more than anybody else. Can I tell you that's a you thing and not a them thing? Can I tell you that's a you thing, absolutely, and not a God thing? Because God has forgotten your past. Amen? And cast it as far as the east is from the west. Amen? And He's totally forgotten about it and counted you as righteousness. And guess what? You should have let it go. But in your mind, it's more important for you not to be embarrassed and be shamed than it is for your loved ones to be saved. Can I say this in the kindest, neatest way and not try to hurt your feelings, but if it does, I really don't care. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Because your family's lives depend on it. Because you might be the only witness, you might be the only missionary they're going to ever hear because they won't come to church, because they've been hurt in church and all the other excuses they got, they might not be coming. But you know what? You're the only one there, and no matter what your past is, no matter what they know about you, you've got to tell them in such a way that they understand that something's changed in your life. Guess what? I bet she told them with tears. I bet she told them in such a way, listen, it don't matter what you've done, your daddy knows who you are. Daddy, I'm not kidding here. Have you told your father like this? Dad, I'm not kidding. You need to get right with the Lord. I don't care about the weather, and I don't care about football, and I don't care about what your job's doing. You need Jesus. Thanksgiving's going to be different this year. Christmas is going to be different this year. We need to understand who Jesus is, and if we don't get that right, I'd rather go away empty and not eat Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner and have all you mad at me instead of letting you know that you're going to spend eternity separated from God. Her mom was there. I wonder if she was a disappointment of her mom or she was just an apple that fell not too far from the tree. Did I say that? Did I actually say that in church? Sorry, Mar. Well, she became a prostitute somehow. Amen? And no matter which way or the other, here she is standing before her mom, and you know how moms are and daughters. Maybe there was intimidation. Maybe I don't feel like I need to be telling my mom this or telling my mom this because I failed in so many ways, and I bet she wanted grandkids, but instead I just have customer after customer after customer. You know they lived in a walled city, right? It might have been a big city, but everybody knew who her daughter was. But one day, with tears running down her face, she said, "Mom, if you don't get into my home, you mean wait a minute, let me get this straight. You mean the same home that you've been turning tricks in? You mean that same scarlet rope that you hang out there to let people know that you're in business? Sorry, it's just the truth. Yes, Mama, yes. That same cord that's hanging out there now stands for Jesus. This same place that I did all that mess in, it's now a Jesus place. God came and said, and listen, you might know my past, but you don't know my future. You need to get in this house, because if you don't get in this house and you're out there, you're surely going to die. You're going to perish. And Mama, I don't know what my past is all about for you, but I know where my future at. It's in God. It's in Jesus. Get in this house. Some of y'all just don't tell it serious enough. Some of y'all just don't share it the right way. You're tapping around it. You're kind of coming at it from a different... Well, I'll come in. Listen, you're at a funeral, you're going to share Jesus. You're going to pray. You're going to have somebody preach. You're going to talk about God. But listen, that is not the time to share Jesus. It's today, prior to the funeral. Brothers and sisters, her brethren, who are you? I'm successful. I got a job. I make money. I've got a house and kids. And you, the prostitute, are going to tell me. You, the drug addict. You, the liar. You, the thief. You, the failure, going to tell me? Absolutely. Your siblings sometimes can be the hardest on you, because I think they know the most dirt. Get over it. And tell them to get over it. Do it like when you was a little kid. Grab them by the lapels of their shirt. Pull them up real close and say, "You know I'm serious. I love you. And despite of our sibling rivalry, in spite of all of our mess between you and me, despite of how you feel about me and how about you, if you don't get in Christ Jesus, you will die lost. And I can't afford that. I would rather you hate me than to let you walk away and die in your sin." Or have we ever been that serious like this with our families? Because sometimes we'll want to win the world, and we'll let our families die lost. We'll think about all the people we want to reach. I want to reach out into this. I want God seeing me. God let me pray. And listen, we won't even hold church in our own home. Can I say this? Can I just be? When's the last time you passionately shared your testimony in your home with your family? I'm just sit around the table, look across them, and just share your testimony. When's the last time? This is how God saved me. And guess what? This is how God can save you. Do your kids know where Daddy got saved? Do they know where Mom got saved? Does your brothers and sisters know how you got saved? Whew. There was a command. There is a command. He said, "You must be here." Amen? You must be in this location. You know what the gospel says in the New Testament? You must be born again. Here, you must be in this room. You must be in this house. You must be under this cord. He tells Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Listen to this, everybody in this room. You won't get into heaven unless you are born again. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. But it means born of the water means you came through the birth canal and your mother's water broke and they said, "It's a brand new baby girl or a brand new baby boy." In the same way, you must be born again in the Spirit. That means there was a day that all of a sudden all things become new. All of a sudden you are a new creature in Christ. All things, old things passed away. They weren't very important anymore. All things become new. And you're like, "Man, I'm looking at life through new lens." Has that ever happened for you? Has life all of a sudden took a new lens for you? All of a sudden what used to be right is now wrong, and now all the things that were wrong are now right. I couldn't believe it. When I got saved, all of a sudden I started looking around in the place that I worked in, and I thought, "My goodness, I have let so many great opportunities go by the wayside. I have ruined this place that I work in. I'm going to change it." You know how I changed it? I changed me. First and foremost, I got a prayer life, I got a Bible reading life, and I got a witness life. Amen. I got one of them where I walked down through there and somebody was in a conversation I didn't need to be in. Here's one of the greatest witnesses. You'll know when you've been saved. When you're not sitting in the mess that everybody else is sitting in, you get up and walk away from it. That'll be like somebody shooting a shotgun off in the place that you work. If you got up and moved tables and went over and sat somewhere by yourself and start praying or reading your Bible or just sitting there saying, and eventually somebody's going to come by and say, "What in the world happened to you? I can't do that anymore." Why? Yeah, we make witness. We make sharing gospel, the gospel and sharing Jesus so hard. Some people just need to see you do different. They just need to see a new walk. And they'll start following you if you start walking a different way. Somebody, "Well, I invite people to church." Listen, as a pastor, man, blows it. Yes. That's like the winning check mark for me. I'm inviting them to Jesus. I'm inviting them to church. I want you to invite them to church. But can I tell you this? Live in such a way that they get hungry for Jesus, and then they'll probably want to go to church where you go. But then really doesn't matter. I want them just to go to church where God wants them to go. See, we let people off the hook because we invite them into church instead of inviting them to Jesus. Because we think that our church is the only saving place. Amen? I want them to be infected with Jesus Christ and then go where God wants them to go despite of that. So you got a commandment. Are y'all ready? Here's the last one. And then you got a lot of stuff to think about and a decision to make before you leave here. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm putting the ball in your court. And see, tonight I'm going to sleep good. I'm going to rest good. Because I've preached the gospel to you and I'm no longer accountable for it. You are. And you're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to walk out of here lost or you're going to walk out of here saved. Or you're going to walk out of here one more time pretending you have something that you don't have. Or you're going to get what you really have and watch God really change your whole life. Let's all stand. Scott, come get a song. Come get a guitar real quick if you don't mind. This is how fast I want this to transpire. There is a place. There is a time. There is a witness, there is a commandment, and there is a completion. There is a completion. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 22, we find that they did invade Jericho, and the walls did fall down, and they were spared. I want you to know this as we end. There is a completion to this. I've been keeping up with this thing that's going to happen tomorrow. Y'all know there's an eclipse tomorrow. Is that correct? Now listen, my wife is amazing because she got us some of those glasses months ago. I would have put it off till tomorrow. Amen? Like some of you have. Some of you have said, "Well, I need some of them glasses. Is there any of those glasses left? Does anybody know where the glasses are? Because the eclipse is going to happen tomorrow." Amen? There's going to be a lot of people standing and they're going to be looking in the sky and they're going to have these glasses on because they knew it was coming and they went out and purchased the glasses and there's going to be some people that are going to be kind of doing this number and not looking directly at it and don't want, because they said, I got plenty of time. I'll do it when I get more time. Some of y'all are going to be just like that because there's going to be a completion of this world. Jesus is going to come back and those that are looking for Him will see His return and rejoice in it, and the ones that are not ready will be cast into utter hell for eternity. And if you do not have Christ Jesus, there will be a completion of this without you. This eclipse will be awesome. But you want to talk about an awesome day. God said the day that Christ returns for those that are lost, the moon, the stars, the sun will all drop out of the sky. It'll be a great and terrible day. There's going to be a completion day for you, friend. Yours might come tomorrow, it might come the next day, or it might come when the Lord ultimately comes back for everyone. Are you ready for completion? We're 2,000 years closer today than we were before. If you're not saved, step out of your pew. Stop playing games. Stop coming to church without Jesus. Come up here on this altar and pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord of your life. It's a free gift. And if you are saved, please pray with me that somebody will be able to step out in that strength of God and do this as they play a song. If you need me to pray with you, I will pray with you.